I just want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about moving from defeat to victory. Now, you can use these same principles in the natural as well as the spiritual side, okay? We're going to look at an incident in the Old Testament, and it shows us, I believe, what it takes to move from defeat to victory. Now, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 14. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm just going to read bits and pieces of it. But if you'll read back up in chapter 13, it talks about the Philistines and how many chariots they had and horses and soldiers and all that. And we get down to 1 Samuel 14, 1 and 2. One day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on," I'm reading from the NLT. "Come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost." But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Geba around the pomegranate tree in Migron. Now, let's skip down to verse number 6. "Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans," Jonathan said to his armor bearer. "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few." "Do what you think is best," the armor bearer replied. "I'm with you completely, whatever you decide." "All right then," Jonathan told him. "We'll cross over. Let them see us. If they say to us, 'Stay where you are, we'll kill you,' then we'll stop and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up and fight,' then we'll go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them." When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, "Look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes." Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, "Come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson." "Come on, climb right up behind me," Jonathan told his armor bearer, "for the Lord will help us defeat them." So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan, his armor bearer, killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered all about a half acre. Suddenly panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outpost and the raiding parties. And just then an earthquake struck, and everybody was terrified. Saul's lookout at Geba of Benjamin saw a strange sight. The vast army of the Philistines began to melt away in every direction. "Call the roll and find out who's missing," Saul ordered. And when they checked, they found out that Jonathan and his armor bearer were gone. Now let's skip down to verse 20. Then Saul and all his men rushed out to the battle and found the Philistines killing each other. There was terrible confusion everywhere. Even the Hebrews, who had previously gone over to the Philistine army, revolted and joined in with Saul and Jonathan and the rest of the Israelites. Likewise, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country of Ephraim joined the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle continued to rage even beyond Bethaven. Now, this is an incident where they needed a victory. Have you ever experienced a time when it seems that all you have is defeat? You know, God's made a way for us to have victory. Now, in this chapter, we find out, and if you study the whole thing, you'll find out that Saul was sitting under a pomegranate tree in Migron with a defeatist attitude. He only had 600 men left, and the Philistines had 30,000 chariots and 6,000 cavalry and so forth and so on. You can read about that in the previous chapter 13. And they were sending raiding parties in to destroy the Philistines. They had destroyed all their blacksmith shops and killed all the blacksmiths, even in Israel, weaponless. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had weapons. And only 600 men of the original 3,000 were there. The rest of them had run off and hid from the enemy. And so they were in a bad place. Now, if we look at this, we can see that the Philistines can be displayed as a type of Satan coming against God's people. We are God's people, and Satan's going to come against us. Philistines are coming against them, but Satan comes against us. He's always trying to come in and steal, kill, and destroy, because that's what the Bible says he does. But only two people went toward the Philistines, and they didn't have a defeatist attitude. You know, the 600 of them that were left out of the 3,000, they were just sitting there under the shade. I guess they were just sitting there waiting for the enemy to take them under. They didn't think there's anything they could do, so they're just sitting there. You know, that's what happens to a lot of people. If they get down spiritually or emotionally, they just throw up their hands and quit, and the enemy takes advantage of them. You know, in this hopeless situation, Jonathan said, well, wait a minute. If I'm going to stay here, I'm probably going to die anyway. Something's got to be done. And so him and his armor bearer took off. You know, sometimes we got to realize in the natural and in the spiritual, when everything is going wrong and everything is going bad, we've got to realize that something got to be done about the situation. We just can't sit there. Hello? Remember the four leprous men that sat outside the city gates? And one of them finally said, well, why do we, everybody was starving to death inside the city, and they were starving themselves. They said, well, why are we going to sit here until we die? Let's go down to the enemy's camp. All they can do is kill us, and we're going to die anyway. Perhaps they'll let us live and give us something to eat. You know, sometimes we can get so beat down by the things that happen to us that we start to question the power of God and the Word of God. We start to wonder, well, I know it's happened before, but is it really going to happen today for me? You see, you have to take bold action with your confident faith. If you're going to rise above any situation, you have got to have confidence. You've got to believe. Get up and do something. I told one guy one time, he wasn't working, he wasn't doing nothing. He said, well, I don't want to do nothing wrong. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather you get up and try to do something and do it wrong than just sit there and do nothing. Come on now. See, Jonathan got up and did something about the situation. Now, I want you to notice here, may talk about this a little more in a minute, but nothing happened until Jonathan began to move. People are sitting around saying, well, I'm waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you to move, because if you get up and start to move, then he can move. You know, with God, you can take care of your situation. Somebody said, yeah, I'm praying for God to do something about my situation. That's a prayer that'll never be answered. You said, what? No, prayer is good. We need prayer. But there's no use praying that kind of prayer because God's already done everything he's going to do about the situation. It's up to us to believe him and have confidence enough to get up and go toward the situation. Through Christ, it's already been taken care of. The enemy's been defeated. You know, some of you might remember several years ago, I'm preaching, and actually before we had this extension, and somebody made the stage over here on a Sunday morning, and I went toward them, said, "Get off this stage." Anybody remember that? And one after it's over, somebody said, "Well, you went to them." I said, "Yeah, whoever has the advantage is on, not defense don't have the advantage. Offense got the advantage." I said, I wasn't going to wait for him to come to me. I didn't know what he was going to do, but I knew good and well what I could do. And I wasn't going to be like some of these preachers that have stood there and let somebody knock them out. Around here one time, some of the ushers said, "Pastor, you know these other, you know, it's been several years back, some of these people, pastors and ministers, these guys will come down and cold cock them, you know." One of my ushers said, "Well, if they come down there and they start," I said, I think you'd finish it. I don't think they would. I said, okay. But that's the way we have to be with the devil, the enemy that's coming in to steal, kill, and destroy us. We have to take the initiative with the Word of God, quoting the Word of God. We can't fight him with our fist. We take the Word of God and let the Word of God come out of our mouth. That becomes our weapon. The Word of God becomes our weapon to defeat him. You know, you have to exercise confident faith. You know, even in the sports world, I had a coach in the locker room say, "Boys, you got to believe you can before you can. You got to believe what the Word says before you can have what it says you can have. You got to believe it. Unless you have that kind of confidence, your faith confession is not going to do you any good, because when you confess it, you got to be confident." Hello? You know, a lot of times a lot of people make a faith statement, but they're sort of mealy-mouthed and they sort of, you know, hum-haw around about it. No, you got to come right out and say it. You know, it's sort of like a lot of you. I have big, great Pyrenees mountain dog out in the backyard, weighs 130 pounds, and we got a 6-month-old standard poodle and an 11-year-old Fergie. She's 11 now, and those dogs, you can just say, sit, Fergie. She may look at you and look around, and I can say, sit, Fergie. Set, drop down. You see, you got to get, when you're speaking it to enemy, you got to do the same thing you do when you're speaking to your dog, your animal. You got to have an authoritative voice. Come on now. You know, the enemy's coming out there. He's not going to pay any attention to somebody that's half-heartedly making a faith confession. You got to believe in what you're saying. Come on now. You know, according to James 4:7, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He'll run from you. You know, I had a man tell my dad one time, "Oh, Brother Hagin, I wouldn't say that if I was you." And he's whispered it. "Oh, Brother Hagin, I wouldn't say that if I was you." And Dad said, well, why? He said, well, don't you know the devil will hear you? And Dad said, yeah, that's the very dude I want them to hear. You've got to have that kind of an attitude. Speak the word. It's not you. You can't do anything. But the word of God coming out of your mouth can. The word of God coming out of your mouth can bring a victory when it looks like defeat. You know, Jonathan had confidence in his Jehovah God. He believed that if he would go up there and go against them, that God would be there to back him up. Now, look at your odds when there's 6,000 cavalrymen and all these chariots and all these soldiers, and you got two men. I would consider their chance 0-0-0-0 of winning, right? But Jonathan's confidence wasn't just in his fighting ability. His confidence was in that God would move through him and his ability to bring a victory. See, a lot of times people are wanting God to do it. No, God's going to do it through you. He's not down here moving. He is in you, moving through you. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Paul said, what? Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The power of God is in you. So you got to learn to believe that and to stand up and take a stand. Probably some of you guys that's played ball, you probably had a coach, especially come in the locker room at halftime if you're down, and he come in the locker room at halftime and look at you and say, how bad is your want to? What do you mean? How bad do you want to win? You know, I told a couple of my buddies, well, they weren't my buddies, they were friends, I knew them. You know, they never played in a game. And I said, I see you at practice. You half-heartedly go through the drills. You half-heartedly do it all. And they said, oh, we just won't be on the team. Well, I want to tell you what. I ain't going to go out there for 2 hours and sweat just to be on the team. Hello? That's not me. I just don't want to be on the team. I want to be on the winning team. And God is always the winning coach. Hello. You know, some people look at us, and when we talk about the confidence that we have in God, they, oh, you're just one of them conceited Christians, full of pride. No, it's not pride. It's confidence in God and his word. That's what it is. It's confident. You're not being prideful. You're just confident. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. There's nothing else to it. Now, some people say, well, you don't know my situation. I don't. But I know what God said. God said that if you would believe him, he would take care of the situation. Yeah, but you don't ever know what might happen. Yeah, I do. Whatever God says, that's what's going to happen. Your confidence in his word is what makes you a victor. That's what makes you, a winner. You've got to be optimistic and face the challenge. The enemy's going to challenge you every time you turn around. And you got to confidently look him in the eye and say, "Hey, if you want some more of this, come on, I'll give you another whipping." Hello. You know, my dad used to say this, and I believe it's so. I've seen it too. You can tell whether a person really has confidence in what they're saying about believing God by the tone of their voice. Hello. In fact, Dad used to say, "Let me have a 4-minute conversation with somebody, and I can tell you if they really just mouthing words or if they really believe." Hello. Did you know that your facial language and your body language says more than what your words say? I'm so happy. I just thank God I'm so happy. A guy said that one time. I don't know. I was traveling with him. I must have been about 17 or something. And a guy said, "Oh, Brother Hagin, you know, I'm just so happy." And he had a face that looked like a mule. You know, a mule got a long face. And my dad looked at him and he said, "If you're happy, tell your face." You know, you can tell if a person really believes in what they're saying. Like I said a while ago, they say, "Well, but you don't know what might happen." Yeah, I know what's going to happen. Whatever God said is going to happen. "Yeah, but you know, I know this person and this did this and this." I said, "I ain't got nothing to do with it. What happened to them ain't got nothing to do with you if you believe what God's word says." You know. I said, "Well, I don't know." Well, you know what? I'm from Texas and I like steak, and I like it called what I call rare plus, halfway between rare and medium rare. And I like a good ribeye or a good fillet. But just because somebody threw one in the garbage, I'm not going to quit eating steak. Just because one went bad, I'm not going to quit eating steak. Just because somebody got a bad one, I'm not going to quit eating steak. Just because something didn't happen to somebody, I'm not going to quit believing what God said. See, some people, they get to the point and something didn't happen to their friend and they quit believing. Hey, you don't know everything about that person. You don't know. They say they're believing, but are they really believing? Hello, come on now. I'm preaching good, better than I'm getting amens. You know, sometimes we allow the enemy to get into our head and we start thinking the wrong thoughts. There's a little book out there in the bookstore called Right and Wrong Thinking, written by a fellow that has my same name. He says, right thinking will produce right believing. Right believing will produce results. Wrong thinking will produce wrong believing and produce nothing. Hello. You know, sometimes people, if they're not careful, under all the pressure that's applied to them, they fold up. My sister said to me one time when we were kids growing up, she said, "Ken, said, when people really start coming down on you, she said, you dig your feet and your heels in the ground and you bow up. And I said, well, that's just me. That's just my natural attitude. You're going to come after me, then I'm not going to cow down. And oh, you better get ready. Bring your lunch. But you know, that's what happens sometimes to Christians. The enemy puts so much pressure on them, they fold. And instead of standing strong in faith, they start to wilt. No, you got to stand up strong. Now, another thing that happens sometimes that causes people not to have victory is they think that if they asked a fellow believer to help them, that it's showing that they got weak faith. Well, in Galatians 6:2, it talks about bearing one another's burdens, helping one another. That's the thing the enemy likes to do. He likes to get you to isolate yourself from the other believers. And when he does, you are easy prey. But when the other believers are around you that can help you and strengthen you, you're not easy prey. You know, you can be strong in the Lord yourself, but there may come a time that you have to have somebody help you. You know, I got a minister friend that he's my, and if I need anything, I mean, I say, hey, and I'll text him and tell him what I'm dealing with and ask him to pray with me. He does the same thing with me. I know I can trust him, and he knows he can trust me not to say anything to anybody else. But it doesn't hurt to have somebody that you can go to and say, look, this is where I am, and I need some help. Hello. Someone says, oh, that shows you're weak in faith. No, it doesn't. It shows you got enough sense to know what the Bible says about helping one another. Come on now. Don't ever be afraid to ask for help. It's not a sign of weak faith. It's just a sign that you have come to a point that you need some help. You know, never, never, never give up. Never give up. You see, God will meet you and bring you victory in the middle of defeat if you'll keep standing tall and keep quoting the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Never quit. You know, now this is not a very good deal. I maybe shouldn't tell it, but we had to walk home from Garland Junior High School. And the junior high was up. He had to get up. I lived on 3rd Street, and to get across to the tracks, you had to go get up to 5th Street, and junior high was on up there. Well, down there by the railroad tracks was a big open field, and it's where guys sometimes met and settled differences. All you guys know what I'm talking about. Well, there's this one guy, he always was on me, and so we got into it there. I was 7th grade, and he sort of got the best of me, and we had school the next day. I said, okay, and I called his name. I said, I'll see you there after school, and he looked at me sort of funny, and I said, just because I lost one time, it ain't over. Well, we went at it till he backed down. I wouldn't quit. That's in the natural, and I shouldn't have given that, but I think that shows the attitude that we have to have. The enemy, so what? He knocks us down. So what? He comes against us. Hey, you got to look at him and say, okay, we're going at this again, and quote the word of God at him. You know, the Philistines, Jonathan, his armor bearer, got up there. Oh, it's almost time to quit. They got up there, and they whipped these 20 men, and for some reason, it caused chaos, and everybody started fighting everybody, and they started running, and it was just a, you know, I guess God can do that. You know, why sit here and wait for them to come and defeat and kill us? Let's go get them. With God's help, Jonathan and his armor bearer defeated an army of 30,000 or more. I have a question to you. Are you just going to sit with your circumstances and your situations and be taken down? Are you going to rise up and look at your impossible situation and say, I don't see how in the natural, but God said it, I believe it, that settles it, and I am moving right now to tell the enemy that he no longer can destroy me. It's up to you. It's your move. You see, God's already moved. He's waiting on you to move. And when you move, he'll come in and you'll see that things will begin to change. And all of a sudden, instead of problems, there's victory. Instead of sickness, there's health. Instead of poverty, there's wealth. Because God has already provided it. All you have to do is rise up and begin to take it. It belongs to you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few minutes tonight to stir up their spirits about the fact that you said it and you will deliver. I thank you, Father, that every circumstance and situation of every individual will be taken care of tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Don't ever quit. Keep on fighting and you'll come out on the other side. If you're in this congregation tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to follow God, but you've got off course, taking a detour, you need to rededicate your life to God. Ladies are over here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come down here and pray with them, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here, you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, prayer partners are here. They will pray with you. You just come down here and they'll agree in prayer with you for whatever it is you need. Hey, Friday night right here, graduation. Sunday morning, right here, 10 o'clock. Come believing, come expecting. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm a winner with God. If you need prayer for any reason or anything, come to the front right now.